Yeah, Father, we plead the blood of Jesus over the people in California. Father, we ask you for mercy in this situation. Cause rain to come and put these fires out. Father, we ask you for a miracle in Jesus' name. We pray. Amen. You know, people have this habit of sneaking up on the lion and hitting him with a stick. And that's what happened with California. You know, the what's going on is just stupid. You know, they've wasted so much runoff water, let it go to the ocean. Then they cut their fire department funding by just huge amounts. Now their fire hydrants are dry. They don't have water to fight fires with. No, they let it run off to the ocean. Yeah. Yeah, the whole thing is crazy, but we're going through changes. The whole world is going through change. The whole world is going through changes. And I don't know if you have been paying attention, but the world government is changing. You know, Trump's been talking about buying Greenland. And Canada becoming the 51st state. And then Mexico probably come right in line. Gulf of America, yeah. Yeah. Well, what's going on with that is there's a multipolar world where major powerhouses are going to be looking over their parts of the world, and America's not going to be butting in on people because, you know, the American dollar is not tied to oil anymore. And we don't have the control on everybody, and they can't manipulate other countries with their money anymore. Praise God. So that means they won't be going out and blowing up other countries for their resources and their control. But actually, there's going to be certain areas that are going to be responsible to take care of their area. And that's part of what he's kind of leading us into a little bit. Above anything else, in God we trust, everybody else gets to pay cash. Even Trump. At this point, after everything the whole world's been through and everything we've been through, I wouldn't be surprised if Trump came out on stage and had horns. He's going to have to just show us. I mean, he showed us so far. But he's going to have to keep showing us and keep proving it. But I don't trust anybody for any reason, for anything. You know, the whole we've been burned so many times till there's no reason to trust anybody but God. You know, everybody else is just going to have to prove it, and we're going to have to get there how we get there. But Hebrews, I want you to look at Hebrews chapter 13. Verse 5. It says, let your conversation be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have, for he has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man shall do unto me. You know, I read the craziest thing the other day. There was a post, and it was these people that were suffering from vax damage. They said the unvaccinated people didn't do enough to tell us. They didn't do enough to stop us. I said I screamed it from the pulpit for years. But here's the thing. You know, remember how they bastardized everybody that didn't get vaccinated for not being vaccinated? Keep standing your ground, because we got another round of vaccines coming. The newest vaccine I just heard about was for the bubonic plague. Now, these guys don't come up with vaccines unless they plan on having something happen. And maybe they don't have enough power to make it happen, but just know that the devil is out there, and these people have a slash and burn mentality. You know, if they can't have it, they'll burn it to the ground. Because they don't want you to have it. If they can't be in control, they'll destroy it or do whatever they can to. Just stand your ground and be ready. But God will never leave you nor forsake you. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8 says that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He has never changed. He never will. He's going to be the same no matter what crisis is going on, no matter what problems are going on, no matter what kind of turmoil is going on. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He will not change. People act like he changes. You know, there's a lot of denominations that act like he changed. You know, they act like maybe the word is supposed to change to fit their lifestyle. That's not the way it is. We have to change to fit the word. The word is not going to change. I don't care how you twist it. I don't care how you've been. I don't care how you manipulate it. The word is still what God said, and he's not going to change his mind about it. You know, there's a lot of confusion in the world. We need to make sure that we're not confused. And the only way we can do that is by focusing in just dead center on Jesus. We know he's not going to change. And we know he will never leave us nor forsake us. He's always going to be right here with us. Now, the biggest thing we're going to learn is in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. It says, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience. Just circle that word. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your minds. So he's warning us, you know, he's telling us that it's possible you could get wearied and faint in your mind. You know, your soul could lose confidence. You know, we have to have an anchor for our soul. An anchor for our soul is Jesus. He's the author and finisher of our faith. And he says to let us run with patience. You know something? We all got the same race to run in this life. You know, now some people, they may not be on a very good set of wheels. But if you latch on to Jesus, you got the best transportation you're going to have to get through this race. We need to enjoy this race a little bit. So many people have a destination. You know, a friend of mine, he built a raft. He was in South Dakota, and he built a raft. out of logs. He went and got these logs and he made this raft. And his dream was to get on this raft in South Dakota and ride this raft all the way down to New Orleans. So that's what he did. He rode that raft all the way down to New Orleans. And he got down there and he was kind of bummed. It wasn't nothing like he thought it was going to be. And he said he kind of missed out on a lot of the trip because he was focused on the finish. So he didn't get to enjoy as much of the trip as he could have. There's a lot of people that are focused on getting to heaven, and they just miss out on this journey that we call life here. That shouldn't be. See, one thing he did say there is to run with patience, not panic. There's a lot of people that are panicked in this life. You know, there's a lot of people that are scared out of their mind. There's Christians that are scared out of their mind. That shouldn't be. You know, he never said to be afraid. He did say to use wisdom, but he didn't say to be afraid. And he did say to look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. See, when you get focused on Jesus, you can have a lot more enjoyment in your trip through life. You know, you're going to get to where you get, but by stressing about it, you're going to get there a little faster. You know, I was talking to my sister, and we both agreed that the people that we grew up with that were in our respective classes are wore out. They're just shot. They look 10, 15 years older than us. You know, my brother looks 10, 15 years older than her, and he's only 2 years older. You know, I told her, I said, I know, there's a lot of guys I grew up with, if they have any hair left, it's white. You know, and they're just wore out. But see, we fall into these worldly agendas where they tell us to go to school, go get a sheepskin, you know, go get a degree, you know, so you spend 8 years getting loans that you're probably going to spend the rest of your life paying off. And then you get out of that, and then you go buy a house that you spend 30, 40 years paying for, and all these cars that you spend 10, 15 years paying for, so you can retire on a little bit. And they worry about these things, and they worry, and they stress, and they worry, and they stress, but they're doing what they're taught. Only problem is, too many of them have been taught from the wrong textbook. This is the textbook we should be learning from in school. I'm glad some of these states are bringing the Bible back into schools. I think that should be the number one textbook that we have in school. You know, because I don't know if you ever noticed this, but a whole bunch of the stuff that we learned in school is not the truth. It's just not. This is the truth. They may teach some facts, but it's not necessarily the truth. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6 says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. See, remember, the Lord with you equals success. I really got a kick out. Out of Joseph, one day he's walking around with a coat of many colors. And then the next day he's in prison. But it was kind of funny because he went there in that prison and he considered himself to be a successful man because God was with him. And he didn't have any contacts. He was in a foreign land. He didn't have any money, didn't have any clothes. He's in prison. You know, he didn't really have any prospects, but God was with him and God promoted him in that prison. God gave him a gift, and that promoted him. That brought him from the dunghill to the top. And then he got busted down, and then he got promoted again. Only that time, he really got promoted till he was the only one above him in authority was the Pharaoh. See, our attitude in life is what we need to make sure that we take care of. You know, the Bible says to take care of the heart, for out of it flow the issues of life. I read a really neat account about a guy that was in the Holocaust, and he got taken prisoner, and he's put in one of them Nazi camps. And he's naked like everybody else and starved half to death like everybody else. And he was beaten like everybody else. And somebody asked him, said, how did you survive? There were so many people that died, they just died. And how did you survive? And he said, they took everything I had. But there was one thing they couldn't take. They couldn't take my attitude. Man, if he can have a positive attitude in a Nazi death camp, everybody can have a positive attitude. You know, we can always have something to look forward to. You know, Jesus Christ in us, the hope of glory, that's something we can hope for. That's something we can sink our souls into. That's something that gives us an anchor for our soul. We always have hope. You know, sometimes people just give up. You know, they maybe this happened or that happened, or maybe they believe that the system is rigged against them, or maybe they just think they think they can't go forward because of this or that. That's not true. As long as you have a breath in your body, you can go forward and you can go up. Regardless of your age, race, your financial status, your educational status, regardless of anything, if you get a hold of the Word of God and you let faith be one of your number one things, you can go forward. You can go forward, regardless of what any man may do. You know, go back to Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5. It says, let your conversation be without covetous, and be content with such things as you have, for he has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man shall do unto me. You know, that's how a slave was successful in a prison in a foreign land. That's how Joseph was successful. He, you know, he could have sat there in that cell and say, I'm toast, it's over. I'm never going to get out of this. My family forsaked me. You know, he could have had bitter resentments. He could have just given up on life. But he clung to God. And he became very successful in that country. In fact, he saved his family. You know, David, he got anointed to be king of Israel. And this was always interesting to me. Saul was the king, but he failed. And God had the prophet go and anoint David to be king. And then David spent a lot of years hiding in caves, living in the wilderness, dodging Saul. You know, David could have killed Saul a bunch of times, but he wouldn't lay a hand on him. But he was anointed to be king. And he knew that. He knew that he was supposed to be in the city, in the capital of Israel, in the palace, being the king. But he was out in the cave. But his attitude in the cave saved the day, because and you know, he got down, because the Bible talks about it. In one of the Psalms, he said, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits." What was he doing? He was talking to himself. You know, God told Joshua, or meditate on the word. Meditate on the word day and night. Don't let this word of the law depart from out of your mouth, but meditate on it day and night. That holds true for us too. We can meditate on the word all the time. You start getting down, talk to yourself like David did. That's called meditation. Start saying what God says about your situation. Start saying what God says about you. But don't let the circumstances of life get you beat down and afraid to live. See, there's a lot of people that just won't resist. They'll just go with the flow. But that's not you. You swim upstream. You're not just a sheep that's going to follow along. You meditate on the word. You know what God said about you. You're not going to back down. You know, Jesus is the author and finisher of our faith. Sometimes people get this idea that they got to have this super faith. Well, our super faith is going to come from Jesus. When we focus on him, when we focus on what he did for us, and all of his passion, his death, burial, and resurrection, all the stuff that he's doing for us now, we're looking at his grace. And that grace is going to cause faith to happen in your heart. That'll pump you up. Look at 1 John chapter 4. On John chapter 4, verse 4 says, "You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world." See, not everything that you learn from God will be received from others, by others. Not everybody's going to believe what you learn from God. If you don't believe me, get the baptism of the Holy Spirit, start talking in tongues, go down the street, start telling them about it. They're not going to believe it. But here's the thing. When we finally realize that God is in us, that changes things. The greater one is inside of you. The bigger one is inside of you. I mean, the devil's toast. The devil crosses your path, he's toast. The greater one resides on the inside of you. He said, "You are of God." You got recreated. You know, you've been made in the image of God to begin with. But then when you got born again, the Holy Spirit came inside of you and rejuvenated your spirit. However he does that, you got the life of God on the inside of you. It means a greater one is inside of you now. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in this world. You know, the world has this habit of trying to pump fear into people. Have you ever noticed how sensationalized the news gets? I mean, some little weird thing happened and they just blow it up into something that's almost world-ending. And then when the dust settles, everybody's looking at them like, you are a freaking idiot. Look at you. You know, I mean, they lie. They lie, and they try to get people afraid. Remember, we're going to run our race with patience, not panic. See, the devil, his biggest tool is fear. He's going to try to pump fear into people. And he uses the media to do it all the time. Try to get people afraid. You know, he's got a lot of practice at it. And he keeps learning. You know, when 9/11 happened, it was kind of interesting. When 9/11 happened, the churches filled up. Did you notice that? I mean, there was a lot of people showing up in church that hadn't been there for a long time. So his next big scare campaign, he came up with COVID, and he got people afraid, but he closed the churches down. And it really kind of bugged me at the amount of churches that really closed down. Even in the Word of Faith circles, they were shutting the doors. I said, no, no. You can't shut people away from the answer. Yeah, they can learn, they can get it from the internet. I said, no, that's not what God said to do. People were mad at me. They berated me. They said, don't you care? And I said, yeah, I care. That's why we're open. So they can come in and have communion. Well, I wasn't going to back down. We can't. We can't. No matter what the devil throws at you, know this, that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He said he would never leave you nor forsake you. For Trump getting in and everything going, it just seems like it's just going too easy. And I think maybe they're just saving up for one big blowout. Whatever that blowout may be, you need to be alert. You need to be prepared. And you need to be ready. But none of it says anything about being scared. You're not supposed to be afraid. You're supposed to look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith, and let him sustain you through whatever the next big blowout is. I don't know what it might be, but you got to know that there's going to be something. Let's look at Matthew chapter 14. Matthew chapter 14, verse 22. Straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side, while he sent the multitude away. When he sent the multitude away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, where the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. When the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a spirit," and they cried out of fear. But straightway Jesus spoke unto them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid." Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto the water." He said, "Come." When Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him, said unto him, "O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?" You know, the Bible tells us that Jesus came to them in the fourth watch of the night. You know, Jesus knew that they'd been struggling with that storm for a while. You know, Jesus knew that storm was on the way because it said he had to constrain them to get on the boat. That's pretty much forcing them to get on the boat. And then he went and prayed. You know, Jesus said, "Go to the other side." He didn't say anything about going to the middle and sinking. It seems like I've seen a lot of people that seem to give up just before their miracle happens. And then I've seen people that hung in there. They decided, you know, "I'm going to just hang in there just a little bit longer." And they hung in there just a little bit longer, and boom, it happened for them. You know, just when you think you don't have anything left to lose and you don't have anything left to give, all you can do is just hang on. That's when it happens. The fourth watch of the night, it just happens. Just like when you're just taking one more step of faith and you don't, there's nothing else you can do but take one more step of faith, that happens. Jesus comes through. And he was always with you. See, this is the comforting thing. We can understand that he'll never leave us nor forsake us. But keeping our eyes on him in the midst of the storm can be a challenge. Because we get all these wind and waves, you know. We get bad reports here. That's a wind. You know, we hear something bad over here. That's a wave. You know, maybe we got a financial challenge over here. That's more wind. We get sickness over here. That's more waves. Sometimes it's a little bit hard to not look at the wind and the waves. Jesus didn't say anything about denying that the wind and waves existed. But he did say, "Look unto him." And that's where our focus needs to be. Right now, especially, our focus needs to be on him. He's the one that's going to lead us through whatever it is we're going to go through. But we're going to go through to the other side. He's not into sinking. Even when the boat filled up with water and he was asleep, they had to come wake him up to let him know, "Hey, the boat's full of water." But they made it to the other side, didn't they? We walk by faith, not by sight. So no matter what the world may, what kind of a picture the world may paint for whatever we're going through, we're not going to focus on that. We're going to focus on Jesus. And when we get to the other side, he can sort it out and we can go on with life. Amen? Thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus, for taking care of us. Father, we thank you that we can always look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And he will bring us to the other side. We will walk through the valley of the shadow of death, but we'll go through it. He doesn't have to remove it, because he's going to be right there with us, and we'll go through it with him. Father, we thank you that your protection is always on us, that the angels are always there for us, and that they always go forth to do your will. They hearken to the voice of your word. When we speak your word into the atmosphere, it gives them a job. We thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen.